I have nothing new to speak on, but something that I think is important in our lives. You remember last Sunday, we had the privilege of having the memorial. And a memorial is a privilege. Indeed it is. And so we find in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and as we read verses 23 to 26, I think many of you are familiar with those verses. I will just skip reading it, but I want you to note something there. Because the memorial season, each year that we celebrate it, what does it do? It brings to our remembrance the greatness of this gift of life which we enjoy through Christ. Think about it. Not only that, but also our partnership, our communion with Him, communion in the bread and the cup. The memorial that we kept, it was repeated to us, do this in remembrance of Him, remembrance of me. And so, brethren, by remembering Him, we memorialize the love of our Heavenly Father. Think about it. Not only during this memorial season that we had last Sunday, but throughout the entire year, we want to ever keep fresh in our memory the message of John 3:16. And you all remember, don't you? For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. And so, you and I want to remember how faithfully our Lord carried out the Father's will, even unto death. Even to the death of the cross. And we find that three times in Gethsemane, He said, "Thy will be done." And if we can only remember, and we find that in these hard and difficult experiences in our lives, we all go through them. We all can probably give us a testimony of our story of how we came into the truth, probably. But by remembering Him, remembering His faithfulness, and to be able to say as He did, "Thy will be done." And so we want to remember Him. And certainly memorial time is a personal affair. It was instituted very quietly, as we had studied for the past few weeks. And for those who were close to Him, to our Master, it was in the upper room. And it was only enjoyed by a few, plus our Lord Himself. And so also was the case, brethren, in His resurrection. There were no great crowds, no. There was no marches, no carnivals. It was all accomplished within that circle of a few gentle people. Yes, there was a sorrowing woman. There was a soft speaking of her name. And there He was, alive from the dead. And then in the afternoon, there was a walk of two men going to Emmaus. Again, the gentle asking of a blessing upon the food. But the risen Lord had been there. in the quiet of a room where the door was bolted for the fear of the Jews. And there he was, holding up his two wounded hands to a few of his faithful friends. The dearest and best they were. Those who had faith in him, they were there. And then that gentle assurance that he told them. This can bring tears to our eyes. He said to them, because I live, you too shall live. Because I live, you too shall live. And so it is with us, brethren. We have consecrated ourselves to God. We know that, yes. Consecration was a covenant we made with the Heavenly Father. It was a sacrifice, yes. We know that. I know it means to die daily, yes. Die daily to self and to interest of the flesh. To die to a realization, brethren, of our brothers. The shortcomings sometimes we may have in our walk and newness of life, yes. And then there was, as we walk, as we say to ourselves, this do in remembrance of him. Excuse me. And so we want to remember that he was left an example for us. To walk in his steps. To ourselves we say, yes, we do this in remembrance of him. Because we open our heart to him. And the master enters and says, I will come in and sup with you and you with me. Yes. We find that the Jewish people had been introduced to remember the Passover lamb. They were told that the feast of that Passover lamb was their deliverance. Yes. It was a memorial to them. But brethren, now the type has run its course. There would be no more typical Passover lambs to remember. Our Lord knew that, yes. He knew then what the Apostle Paul said later, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. He said, do not remember the Lamb of Israel. No. Ours is a memorial of the antitype. It is a memorial of my death, he says. And the antitypical Passover lamb. And so he said, do this in remembrance of me. And so, brethren, as we look at 1 Corinthians verse 15, or chapter 15, 1 to 4. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 4. Sometimes it seems to be strange to be told that we're saved by a memory, by a memorial. But that is what the Apostle Paul just said. But in verse 2 again, we find something else. It says, let us remember and never forget. What must we remember? Verses 3 and 4. Thank you much. Verses 3 and 4. As we listen to the great Apostle Paul, the words of the Master rings in our ears. This do in remembrance of me. This do in remembrance of me. And so, we do show the Lord's death, and we find that on the surface, it is hard for others to understand. Very hard. After all, the one thing certain in life is death, isn't it? Why should we remember the death of one more than another? Any reason? Yes. Why is our salvation based upon that memory and not what we do about it? Other great men have lived and died for the sake of principles which they have held paramount in their life. Yes. You probably can name us some of those men. But their memory is soon forgotten. They died before the allotted time. Think of the lot of martyrs that lived in the past. Some probably political, some religious, some probably military. They were all willing to die for some high purpose in their lives, but it was soon forgotten. So the question arises, why remember one among so many? And why does salvation depend upon that memory? You know why? It's simple. Very simple. Because he died for you and for me. That's why. He introduced a very, very simple memorial. The unleavened bread and the cup of juice. Very simple. And so because he died for you and for me, by remembering him, what do? We show forth his death. What happens? We retell the message of his sacrifice. We retell the message of his ransom. Sometimes, yes, it is hard for some to understand. So hard, in fact, that those who lived when Christ died, yes, even those who took part in his crucifixion, those who were responsible, and also those who watched and wept, did not know what it was all about. And he said to them, "This do in remembrance of me." As he was being nailed to the cross, Jesus knew that they did not know. The soldiers who drove the nails did not know what it was all about. They really didn't know. The crowd who stood there, wide-eyed, open mouth, did not know why Jesus was on the cross. They did not know why the darkness was around the cross. They did not know why the thunder and the lightning, did they? No. They had no idea why the earthquake. They had no idea why the veil of the temple was rent. Why? They did not know they would not long remember. It would be gone. Even Peter did not at that time know, nor the other disciples. Why had their master died? Why? They had thought that he was to be restored the kingdom at that time. They did not understand that. But they were not too long, they would not remember. However, there was one there who did understand. And you know who that was? The one that was on the cross. Yes, Jesus knew why he was there. And that is why he says to you and to me, this do in remembrance of me. Our Lord knew that his hour was fully come. He knew he was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He knew that. He knew the thunder of that hour would rumble over a few miles of countryside and then become silent and soon forgotten. But he also knew the event of that hour would be heralded far beyond the sound of thunder, even to Jerusalem, throughout all Samaria and Judea, even to the othermost part of the earth. Yes, he knew that. He knew that it would continue into the courts of heaven. And now we know why he said, this do in remembrance of me. Our Lord on the cross also knew that that afternoon he was proving his right. And you sometimes wonder what was that right he was trying to prove. The fact is, our Lord knew that he would suffer. And he knew that there was someone there as responsible for his betrayal. Yes. He knew that Satan had put into the hearts of the priests and of Israel to persecute him and prosecute him, to accuse him of treason, to bear false witness against him, and to bring about his condemnation. Satan's aim in all of this was to destroy the Savior and save himself from destruction. And so, for as much then as the Scripture says, as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise partook of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Yes, our Lord left his position in heaven for a purpose. He knew Satan's desire was to destroy the seed of the woman. He knew that. Our Lord knew that if he was unfaithful, what would happen? Satan, with his sin and death, would prevail. But our Lord also knew that if he was faithful unto death, that Satan would be destroyed, together with the enemies of sin and death. And we see the stakes were high. They were great. He was confident of that victory. No wonder he said, now we know, do this in remembrance of me. Jesus knew that he was setting an example. He knew that his sacrificial death would open the way for others to enter by baptism into Christ, into the anointed class, the body of Christ. The bread which we break, is it not the partnership or communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Here the heart of the Eternal is most wonderfully kind. Very. The Master knew that those who followed him would grasp, at least in some small way, the love that prompts the sacrifice. and that the Father would permit His Spirit to come upon His body members. Yes, He knew that. And so He said to His disciples in John 16:7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Holy Spirit will not come until unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you." And so what happened? On the day of Pentecost, together with all the consecrated and justified since that day, the hearts of those thus blessed have been drawn with a desire, you and me, to walk in His steps. He knew that. He knew that. No wonder He said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And so what do we find? We find a night in the 14 at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He died as our ransom lamb, as our Passover lamb. He died as a ransom, yes. But a dead Christ could not be our Savior, can He? No. And we'll hear more about it here in this convention yet. Even He was the Son of God. He could not save us if He were dead. And that's why the Apostle Paul makes this clear. If Christ be not risen, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins, Paul says. You do show forth the Lord's death. But thanks be to God, brethren, that death is not the end of the story. It was the end of these others who believed that. It was the end of these other great men who died for a cause. But His is different. But our Lord did not remain dead. No. He died. He was buried. But He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Let us remember that. Let us remember that. Satan tried to keep Him in the grave, yes. He knew the Lord's death would be ineffective if Christ remained dead, if He can only somehow prevent Jesus from coming out of the tomb. That would be a victory for Him. Indeed it would. So what happened? We find that the story is in Matthew, the 27th chapter, if you want to look at it. And verses 62 to 66. We find how, in short, how the priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember that the deceiver said that he was still alive, that after 3 days he would rise again. We've got to stop that somehow. We've got to do something. We're going to get out some guards and we're going to seal that tomb." So I don't know what they put around the tomb. Tried to seal it. Yes. Satan had the Jewish authorities demand a Roman guard. Yes, they sealed the tomb. They posted a guard. Imagine that. The Lord of hosts and His Son, the King of Kings, frustrated by the devil. The one who sits in the circle of the throne of the earth, the one before whom the inhabitants of the earth are as grasshoppers, stopped by a handful of Roman soldiers and by some sealing the tomb. And that's why Paul says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead. He's become the first fruits of them that slept. Yes, for now is Christ not entered into the holy places made with hands, which is the figure of the true, but into heaven itself now. Remember, after the 40th day, he appeared in the presence of God for us. Many of you know what the scripture is written, I'm sure. It's in Hebrews 9:24. But that's interesting, isn't it? And we keep this in memory, don't we? He appeared in the presence of God for us. He appeared for our justification, didn't he? And so, as the scriptures tell us, what I preached unto you, unless ye hear, believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. But you still think in the back of your minds, why does remembering this great event save us? Why? Because it is a story. It is a story of the one who gave himself for us. The story of the one who rose from the dead. And he appeared in the presence of God for us, for you and for me, first of all. It is a story of the blessing of all the families of the earth. That's what it's all about. And we always want to remember that, brethren, and never forget. This due remembrance of me. For as we follow this admonition, brethren, we are going to grasp the spirit of the memorial that we had last Sunday. Of our participation, our brotherhood, our Christian fellowship, our Christian liberty. And so of our Lord's part, surely, but also of our part. Our fellowship, brethren, our partnership, our communion we have with the bread and in the cup. And as we grasp the spirit of memorial of his death, brethren, we will endeavor to manifest that spirit, not only in memorial season, brethren, no, but every day of our Christian lives, as we remember him, for Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Something I thought about, you probably did too. When Christ appeared in the presence of God for us, does that mean anything to you and to me? Is it still there? Is that merit applied on behalf of us still there? Think about it. When will it be released? When the last member goes beyond the veil. When the last member goes beyond the veil, it'll be released. And what's going to happen? That's going to be applied to the whole world. That's when the kingdom will be put in operation. We want to, in our humility, remember our dying Lord. I picked up this few words here from, it was written by Martin Mitchell some time ago. And I thought that it was neat for a person to put that together. And this is, he wasn't much of a poetry writer, but he did write some poetry. And he was good at it. And he says, this was Martin's own feeling, he says, I'll remember thee. The body broken for my sake, my bread from heaven shall be, thy testimonial cup I take, and this remember thee. When the cross I turn my eyes and rest on Calvary, O Lamb of God, my sacrifice, I must remember thee. Remember thee, and all thy pains, and all thy love for me. Yea, while a breath, a pulse remains, I will remember thee. Then by grace, I know the sum and in their likeness be, and thou hast in thy kingdom come, and dost remember me. I thought it was so nice for him to write those few words. And so, brethren, we want to remember our Lord. All the things that was put in there for us, of why he died on the cross, not just as a ransom, but he died as a savior to save the whole world. And remember all the things that he said to his apostles. And the apostles have recorded that for us. And we have that privilege. It's a wonderful gift. Sometimes we overestimate the wonderful gift that our Heavenly Father gave. He gave up his only Son. Someone has said one time in a discourse, would you give up your child as he did, or as Abraham? Look what Abraham did. It's hard to imagine. But when you think back, our Lord knew all that. He knew all that. It'll be through his seed that all the families of the earth be blessed. And that's why he said, remember me. And we're to remember him until he comes. Until we drink it anew with him and the Father's kingdom. Let's remember him. May the Lord add his blessing.